On this third Sunday of Lent, we hear much about the great patriarch called Moses. Moses at the young age of 80, you're never too young to be called by God, was told to come closer to the sacred ground. Take off your sandals, come closer and listen. He received his message spoken to him by God from a burning bush. The bush was never burnt, but it was burning. God is always loving. The fire reminds us that he is a consuming fire that is never consumed. He seeks us out and calls us to come closer to him. And Moses was being sought as a mediator between God and man to liberate God's people from slavery. As we recall, Moses would take on the whole Egyptian bureaucracy and Pharaoh, and after much trial and tribulation, eventually be allowed to liberate God's people from Egypt. And then, as we note in the second reading, whilst traveling in the Sinai desert after their exodus, they were suffering from a lack of food, so God gave them manna. The lack of water, they were dehydrated. So God said to Moses, strike the rock. The rock is a symbol of God, as St. Paul reminds us. And from that rock came water to quench their thirsts. That symbolism or type refers to Christ, who is God. And upon the cross, he would be struck. And from his wounded side came living water to quench our souls. Much of what happened in the past was to prepare us for the present. As Augustine would say, the old is in the new contained, the new is by the old explained. And as Moses led God's people from slavery to Egypt, Christ, as the true mediator between God and man, leads us from earth to heaven. A desert, our wilderness is this world. He feeds us with the heavenly manna, the Holy Eucharist. His sacramental life quenches our souls. And we are on a journey homeward to heaven. And part of that journey, that process, is the gospel today. Twice our Lord says, unless you repent, you shall perish. The word repent means to turn away from sin and to turn back to God. Aversion from sin, conversion to the Lord. We are all called to repent. In fact, without penance we cannot be saved. Penance is seeking forgiveness for our sins. That's why Christ came, to die for our sins. Unless we repent of them, we cannot be saved. Sin becomes an obstacle to God's grace, his presence in our life. During Lent, it's a good time. In fact, it's most opportune that we partake of the sacrament of penance, confession. We are forgiven of our sins. In order to avail us of that great sacrament in this Jubilee Year of Mercy, Pope Francis has asked us throughout the world to have a holy day in this holy year. And the holy day is this coming Friday to Saturday. It's a time of adoration when we adore the living bread from heaven and we also seek his forgiveness in confession. Therefore, at St. Patrick's Church, we have from noon Friday to noon Saturday, adoration in the church with 24 hours of confessions. The priests will be in the confessional for a day, 24 hours, so that at any time, anyone from anywhere can seek healing and forgiveness. To make a good confession, we need to remember four words. The four words will begin with C to make it easy. A good confession is a clear confession, a concise confession, a concrete confession, and a contrite confession. A clear confession is when we go to confession and we've examined ourselves before. We're clear in our thoughts what we're going to say. We don't go in and just talk about things or issues or feelings, but rather we focus on that sin or sins that separate us from God. A good confession is not just clear, but it's also concise. We don't need to go into unimportant details. We don't need to name places or people or events. We just state the sin as it is, and reminding ourselves that there's venial sin and also mortal sin. And all mortal sins need to be confessed in kind and number. For example, if you've stolen something, you need to confess, well, twice I stole $100 from this person. It's not good enough just to say, I've been stealing. You have to say what amount or what is the nature of the sin. And of course, a confession is not just concise, but it's also concrete. We say what we have done, and not what other people have done to us. Sometimes people go to confession and say, oh, well, my mother said this, or my brother did this to me. Well, that's their problem, not yours. You're here to seek forgiveness from God for what you've failed to do or what you have done. And I bring up failed to do. Sometimes people think, oh, I've done nothing wrong. Well, have you neglected to do certain duties? Have you failed, or have you committed sins of omission? Were you as generous or thoughtful as you could have been? Have you been there for others when you ought to have been there? And so forth. And lastly, a true confession needs to be contrite. We must be sorry for our sins. And if we don't feel sorry for our sins, just think about how much Christ suffered for your sins. Think about the Passion of our Lord. Have some images of Mel Gibson's film, The Passion, flash through your mind, and that will give you sufficient sorrow. Sometimes we don't feel sorry for our sins, but the sin itself has offended God, and that's why we're there to confess it. And so we think about the sufferings that Christ has borne for us, and that will make us sorrowful. They're the four ways we can make sure that we receive God's grace. And in doing so, in this year of mercy, we shall partake of the Lord, who is rich in mercy to all those who seek forgiveness. Praise be Jesus Christ.